15. And good message. I appreciate Brother Dallas. He's a good friend, became a good friend of mine. We really enjoyed being here with the tour group last time. And remember the church here, because it was like we were driving down the road and then boom, there's a church. And civilization, right? And that's where I'm from, though. I'm from Southeast Kentucky, and it's that's the kind of way that things are. Sometimes you'll go around, you'll be traveling down a around a mountain, and there's nothing but trees and hollers. You know what I'm talking about, hollers? And then all of a sudden, boom, there's a Dollar General. I mean, a church, and. But anyway, yeah, so we were here right in the middle of the beginning of all the world shutting down, and we left here, went to Florida. They didn't even believe in COVID down there. Them people was hugging us and everything. We was like, we didn't even do this before COVID, people. And yeah, so it was wild. We'd be in one church the week before, and you know, and I'm trying to keep my guys healthy. You know, because we got to travel all summer. One of them gets sick, it's over. You know, so I'm trying to keep them healthy. You know, so I'm like, hey, you know, use hand sanitizer. You know, be wise. You know, be safe. You know, some churches. One church we went in, they had plexiglass around the pulpit. Either that preacher spit a lot, or they went through like extra measures. You know, next church we go in, everybody's hugging. And so these guys, my guys, were so confused. They didn't know what to do. And me, and even now, you know, you wear the mask, you know, and you can't see people smile. I like seeing y'all smile. And so, like, today I came down on an airplane, you know, so when I want to smile at people, you know, you can't tell whether they're smiling. I just use my eyes. And I know they're laughing, because if they're not laughing, they really got problems when you look at them like that, you know. And if they look at you back like that, then, you know you're okay. So Romans 16, I want to be a help to you, and I'll be quick and be a blessing, hopefully, to the church family here. Why don't you stand with me? We're going to just only going to read a couple of verses, and then we'll be seated if you're able. Stand with me. Romans chapter 16, we're going to read verses 1 and 2. All right. Romans 16, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says this: I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Centuria, that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also. I want to preach to you for a few minutes on this young lady mentioned one time in the Bible. Her name's Phoebe. And I'll be honest, this message isn't original. It's from Paul, the apostle. I stole it right out of Romans 16. The alliteration and everything. Okay? But I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Okay? We're just going to talk about Phoebe. Phoebe. Lord, I pray that the message from your word tonight would be a help and blessing to this church. Lord, I remember this church. Lord, when I heard that choir in there, I remembered. Lord, I remembered the sweet spirit. I remembered, Lord, when I saw Brother Smart, I shook his hand, I remembered. Lord, we're in so many sometimes that you forget, but Lord, I remembered. And Lord, I pray that the message, thank you for Brother Dallas's message about hungering and thirsting after you. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to not forget that truth. Lord, may this truth add to that as we learn about this young lady named Phoebe. Holy Spirit, I pray you do a work that only you can do. And Lord, I pray if anybody here is not saved, that they be saved. I pray every Christian would be challenged to be more like this young lady that Paul commends in the last part of the book of Romans. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You can be seated. One time, mentioned one time in the Bible. Phoebe. Let's get to it. Number one, she was a sister. Now, some of you fellas are going to have a hard time with that one. Okay? Because she was a sister. All right? But let's just say she was a relative. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean she was a relative as far as she was a sister, as in Paul and her had the same mother. Okay? But Paul and her did have the same heavenly father. They were blood relatives. Blood of Christ relatives. And when he says that Phoebe was a sister, he means over in John 1:12, if you want to flip over there, the Bible teaches us in John, hold your place in Romans, we're coming back. All the points are in the Bible, like literally in the Bible. Wrote down for you already. But in John chapter number 1 and verse 12, John chapter 1 and verse 12, here's what the Bible, and I know this verse, but I want you to see this verse. The Bible says this, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. You see, you and I are sons of God, daughters of God. If you read through the Pauline epistles, he often calls people his brother. He calls people his son. He uses those terms of endearment. There's a song in your songbook, The Family of God. I don't know if y'all sing that song. That's a good one. It says, you'll notice we say brother and sister around here. Now, that's not just a name we call people because we can't remember their name. Now, it is, but that's not just the only reason we use it. You know, well, what's that guy's name? Brother. Brother what? There's actually a guy, I don't know if he's watching or not, but there's a guy in Virginia, his name's Brother Brothers. It's easy to remember his last name. Brother Brothers, all right? But the reason we call each other brother and sister is because we are family in Christ. And here it says that Phoebe was a sister. What's that mean? That means she was saved. Now listen, there's only one way to be in the family. To be born. There's only one way for you to be in the family of God, and that's to be born again. If you want to be in the family, if you want to be a part of the family of God, you have to be born again. And you and I, if you're here tonight and you're saved, you're a part of the family of God. If you're here and you wonder what it's all about, and maybe you've thought about it, or maybe it's crossed your mind, or maybe you're thinking about it, I want you to know the only way that you can be a part of that family is through Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross of Calvary. That's the only way. That's the only way. But you can be. And you can be a part of the family. You can be a sister. You can be a brother. And we can be family. Now, you know what the crazy part is? We got some weird people in our family. Now, I've got weird people in my family. And you may have weird people in your family. But I just want you to think about this. In just the disciples, okay? Think about this. The first church, okay? You got Simon Zelotes, or the Zealot, who probably would have been at the Capitol that day. Okay? Just saying. Then you got Matthew, who probably would have been working inside the Capitol that day. On the one side, you know. Jesus puts them on the same team. How did those two guys not kill each other? Because they were family. It's like, I can say whatever I want about my sister. But if you talk about my sister, I'm going to whip you. Why? Because we're family. Because we're family. It's just amazing what happens when we get washed in the blood. She was a sister. Now listen, if you're here, it's one thing to be a part of your family, and we all have wonderful families. It's one thing to be a part of your family. It's a whole other thing to be a part of the family of God. If you don't know what that feels like, you ought to be born again. You ought to be born again. And you can be tonight. Number two, not only was she a sister, but the Bible says in verse number 1 that she was a servant. She was a servant. She was a servant. What's that mean? Well, that means exactly what it says. She was a servant. Now, in Bible times, sometimes that meant she was owned. Sometimes that meant she was voluntarily gave of herself to another. Okay? That's what serving means. Okay? And so sometimes you and I will be a servant and we will voluntarily give of ourselves. And we are to do that for the Lord. Flip over to Romans chapter 1 and verse 1. Now, you could look at any of these Pauline epistles, okay? And a lot of them start out this way. Ready? Paul, a what? A servant. He could have said, Paul, a Pharisee of Pharisees. Paul, the only one to have been knocked off a horse and had scales pulled off his eyes and told to go to Straight Street and see Ananias. He said, Paul, a servant. Called to be an apostle. He was voluntarily a servant, called to be an apostle. Over in Romans chapter 12 and verse 11, just flip back a couple of pages and we see what type of servant that we're supposed to be. The Bible says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. You and I are supposed to be servants. Now, here's the great thing about being a servant, or here's the bad thing about being a servant. Everybody wants to be one until we get treated like one. Like Sound Man. Yeah. Nobody ever says after the sermon, the mic sounded great. You ever heard that before? The mic sounded great during Brother Dallas's sermon. I just want you to know that. But listen, you never hear that. You know what you hear? Turn me up. Turn me down. I hear ringing. Always. Now, I'm not saying that that's bad. All right, preacher, I'm not saying that's bad. I mean, if it's ringing, fix it. You know, I mean, I'm for that. All right. But I'm just saying, that's what you hear, right? Because that's what your job is. Okay? You're a servant. Nobody knows who's back there a lot of times. Nobody sees him unless y'all turn around and look at him. When the preacher says, turn me up! Everybody's like, will you turn him up? And they turn around. Nobody knows. Now, unless the preacher parades them in front, probably nobody knows who vacuumed the building today. Unless you advertise it, probably you don't know who cleaned the bathrooms that were cleaned. But somebody did it. We had church yesterday. Had a big crowd in here, I would say. You probably don't know who got all the candy out of the candy wrapper holders on the back of the pews. That's what those are for, right? But somebody got the paper out, right? And we don't advertise that. You see, here it said that Phoebe wasn't a showman. It says Phoebe was a servant. Meaning that she voluntarily gave herself to another. Now, you and I, we are supposed to be servants of the Lord. We're supposed to give ourselves to serve the Lord. You say, how? Well, you know, and always there's this thought process that says, well, I'm not Paul. I'm not talking about Paul. I'm talking about Phoebe. I'm talking about a young lady. A girl. Who was a servant. She was just a servant. I don't know how that the Lord may could use you in your church. It may not come with revenue or recognition or rule. It may take dying to self and just serving in silence. But God probably has a place for you to serve here. What did you put in yesterday? Not in the offering plate. Into the service. When you came and you enjoyed, what did you put into the service that week? Or did you just take? A servant gives of themselves to another. Is everybody still with me? Don't turn me off yet. Don't get mad at me yet, because we ain't even to the hard point. I'm just telling you about this little girl in Romans 16. Number three, not only was she a sister and a servant, she was a saint. Now, got to be careful with that, because she wasn't Catholic. All right. And I realized that she was a saint because she was saved. But I believe if you read the Scriptures, it says that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints. I believe what he's saying here is that she is like you at the church there in Rome. She is like you as becometh saints. If you look at her life, if you look at who she is growing into a mature Christian young lady. Like a saint. She was a saint. Question. Should not we be making the same growth patterns in our life? Flip back to Romans chapter 12. Very familiar passage of Scripture, verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Sometimes it's the preacher's fault, sound man, and that's my fault. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We are called there to give ourselves as a living sacrifice and to be not conformed to the world, but transformed by the Word or by God. And so we are to be not conformed, but transformed. We ought to be like Phoebe and be as becometh of a saint. Question. I think she was, her life was that of what as becometh a saint. What do you mean, Brother Davis? Well, her name means pure. That's what Phoebe means. It means pure, or it means like a shining, pure light. That's what Phoebe means if you look it up. Shining, pure. I think Phoebe was known as becometh a saint because of how she lived. Her life. If you look at your life, is it as becometh a saint? You say, what do you mean? Well, the things you do. Your vocabulary. Is it as becometh a saint? The places you go. Are they as becometh a saint? The things you are entertained by. Are they as becometh a saint? And we're talking about this little girl in Romans 16 here. And Paul writes to commend her, and he says, her life is as becometh a saint. She is growing into a mature Christian young lady, and her life is mimicking or mirroring that of a saint. Is your social media as becometh a saint? I think her life was as becometh a saint. I think her look was as becometh a saint. I think her loves were as becometh a saint. Just for sake of time, 1 John 2 says that we are not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, love the Father is not in him. What is in the world? Well, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those are not as becometh saints. Okay? So if I'm loving those things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, then my love, my desire, my heart, okay, is not as becometh a saint. She was a saint. Number one, she was a sister. Number two, she was a servant. Number three, she was a saint. Number four, she was a support. Now, I changed the word just because I don't like saying that word. Succor or sucker or however you want to say it. She was a support. That word sucker means a helper or a reliever. She was a support. Here's what I mean. Here's what that means. She was a help to Paul. Here's what it says in the Scriptures. For she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also. She helped a lot of people. She helped a lot of people. She was a supporter. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, when we come to church, you know that passage in Hebrews 10:25, when it says that we're not supposed to forsake the assemblies of ourselves together. In that same chapter, it tells us that we're supposed to, you and I are supposed to exhort one another to good works. I'm to exhort you to good works. Now, that doesn't mean I'm supposed to, like, you know, be mean to you. It means I'm supposed to encourage you. Another word that the Bible uses is edify. Y'all ever do any demolition work? You ever tear anything up? I have a 3-year-old. He's going to be a professional demolitionist. Got a hold of a red marker the other day and got in touch with his artistic side all over our new kitchen table and the walls, and it was a Sharpie. And my wife sent me a picture crying, and, you know, it was one of those days, you know, in the life of a parent. So you have those in a, you know, Christian home? Oh, yeah, yeah. My 3-year-old's a sinner. Pray for his salvation. But if you've ever remodeled a home and it had maybe the cabinets needed changed or, you know, this wall needed taken out, you take a sledgehammer and you just swing and you could care less what's behind the wall. It doesn't matter. You just swing in, taking out aggression. Anybody ever done that before? Anybody? All right, one fella. All right, good. Some of y'all may need to, okay? You know, some of you ladies are excited. Yeah. Some of the ladies are like, let's do that. Church activity, all right? Get an old car. That's a good youth activity. But you get an old car and just let them beat the tar out of it, you know. And it's kind of fun. And so I'll just be honest with you. So, but anyway, when you do that, here's the problem. You don't have to think. You just swing the sledgehammer. You just destroy the wall. Now, when you're building the wall back, you have to measure. You have to be careful. You have to watch. Now listen, when I could care less or I don't mind destroying with my tongue, I can say whatever I want. But when I'm trying to be a support, I'm trying to be an exhorter, I'm trying to be an encourager, I'm trying to be an edifier of the church, I measure what I'm going to say. I think about what I'm going to say. I watch what I'm going to say. Because I'm not tearing down that wall. I'm trying to build that wall. I'm trying to build it. She was a supporter. Are you a supporter? Are you a helper? People get around you. Do they want to be around you because you help them? Or are they afraid to be around you because they're afraid that you're going to discourage them? You ought to be a supporter. I'm talking about Phoebe. This is a young lady. I'm not talking about Paul. Brother Davis, I'd love to do that. I'd love to surrender. I'd love to be a missionary. I'd love to... No, talking about this is a young lady. Just a girl in the church. Mentioned one time in the Bible. She was a sister. She was a saint. She was a servant. She was a support. And then last thing, here we go. I told you I'd be quick. This point's not in the Bible. Y'all looking for another S word in that passage, ain't you? Everybody's like, now where's she going with this one? All right, now listen. Usually when the preacher says this is not in the Bible, people get nervous. Don't get nervous. Okay. Number five. She was sent. It's believed that Paul, when he finished the book of Romans, the only book of Romans, not the seven Bibles that you've got, not the one on your phone, the only copy. There wasn't a Kinko's down the road where they could make a bunch of copies. The only copy, when he had finished, he handed it to a little girl. And he trusted that little girl. Now, Phoebe might have been a little older than her. But here you go. Now listen, this is all he had. Here you go, Phoebe. Hold that for me. Look, hey, that's the book of Romans. The Holy Spirit gave it to him. Right? Gave it to Phoebe to take to Rome. Trusted her to take it. If she loses it, it's over. Well, God will give it again. That's the only copy. And he trusted a girl. Not that a girl couldn't do it. I'm just saying he trusted a young lady to do it. Not a Paul. Not a Silas. Not a Barnabas. Not a Peter. A Phoebe. Phoebe carried that book of Romans. And that sister, that servant, that saint, that support was sent with those scriptures. What scriptures? Oh, you know, Romans 3:23. Romans 5:8. Romans 6:23. Romans 10:9. Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that girl made it to Rome with the book of Romans. And the book of Romans made it west. And we got it. Because one little girl was sent and delivered. Pretty sure. We got the same verses. And as Brother Dallas preached earlier in Matthew 28:19-20, and in Acts 1:8, ye shall be witnesses after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. We've been sent. Now if a girl, a little girl, a young lady, can make it to Rome with the scriptures, surely we can go across town, across the street, in the store, to our workplace with the gospel that we're commanded to take around the world. We're to be sent. We're to be sent like Phoebe. Let me just make sure I'm not leaving anything out here. I closed my Bible when I gave it to Phoebe over there. Now, you may be here and you may say, Brother Davis, I just don't think I could talk to somebody. I just don't think I could. I just don't think I could. I just don't think I could. Romans chapter 16, verse number 1. I commend unto you Phoebe, a sister, a servant, a saint, a support, who was sent. Will you be a Phoebe? I'm not asking you to be a Paul and go on a missionary journey. I'm not asking you to be a Peter and be crucified upside down. I'm not asking you to be John and be exiled on the island of Patmos. Now, if that's God's will for your life, then that's God's will for your life. But I'm asking you, if you just decide to be a Phoebe in your church like she was in the church of Centuria. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I wonder if there'd be anybody here that say, Brother Davis, I don't know for sure that if I were to die that I'd go to heaven. I don't know for sure that I'm a part of that family of God that you were talking about. I don't know for sure that I've tasted of that water that Brother Dallas talked about. I'm not sure I've been born again. But God spoke to my heart. Would you please pray for me? If that's you, would you slip your hand up? I just want to pray for you. I won't come back. I won't embarrass you, but I will pray for you. Anybody like that? Would you slip your hand up? Anybody at all? I wonder if there'd be somebody here that say, Brother Davis, God spoke to my heart in a message. He spoke to me about being a servant, about finding a place here in the church, somewhere where I could do something. Maybe you don't know what it is, but you say, I'm going to find out. I'm going to talk to the preacher, but I want to make myself available. I'm going to volunteer myself like the Bible says Phoebe did, like be a servant that she like she was. I want to make that decision. And I want to say that I'll do that and I'll be a Phoebe in my church like she was in Centuria. If that's you and God spoke to your heart, would you slip your hand up and just let me pray for you? Anybody like that, would you slip your hand up? Anybody at all? I'll be a servant in my church. I'll be a servant in my church. God sees that hand. God sees that hand. God will take one or two servants. I wonder if there'd be somebody here God that would say, God spoke to my heart about being more of a saint. There's some areas in my life, Brother Davis, I'll just be honest, I need to clean up. I need to get some things out. God's been dealing with me about it. And tonight, the Holy Spirit pinpointed some areas. Would you pray for me? Anybody like that, would you slip your hand up and say, that's me, pray for me. God sees that hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? As becometh saints, as becometh saints. I wonder if there'd be somebody here that'd say, I need to be more of a support, an edifier, an encourager in my words, in how I speak, and how I talk with people, to my church family, to the people around me. Anybody like that, would you slip your hand up? Anybody at all? God sees that hand. He does in that heart. In that hand, in that hand. I wonder if anybody would say, Brother Davis, God spoke to my heart. And just like Phoebe was sent, I understand that the reason I'm alive and breathing right now, the only reason God ain't took me to heaven is because there are lost people on this earth that will die and go to hell if they don't receive the gospel. And I'm willing to be sent to my town, my workplace, my gas station, my stores, to share the gospel, the very verses that Phoebe was sent with. I'll take them. I'll take some tracts when I leave. I'll give them. I'll share the gospel. That you, would you slip your hand up? Anybody like that? Anybody at all? God sees those hands. God sees those hands. He does. He does. And those hearts. Brother Dallas preached on thirsting for God. Maybe there's somebody here, you ain't read your Bible, you ain't prayed, not been spending that time that you used to spend with God. And you say, Brother Davis, I need to get back to a walk with God. Please pray for me. If that's you and you're not as close as you ought to be, God sees a hand already. Would you just slip your hand up and say, that's me, that's me, pray for me. God sees those hands. He does. He does. Listen, listen. Right now, let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. If you raise your hand, if you raise your hand, let's do business with God. Let's not just have a time where we come and we sing and we hear, but let's do business with God. Right now, between your seat and this altar, let's spend some time making decisions on what we heard tonight preached. She's going to play. Why don't you come? Why don't you come? Why don't you come? Why don't you come and seal what the Holy Spirit has done in your heart in the two messages. Thirsting for God. Being a servant. Being a saint. Being sent. Why don't you come and just seal that decision in your heart. Or kneel at your seat and seal that decision in your heart tonight. Let God work. Let God work and do something in your heart. Don't just be stirred. Make a decision to obey and apply the truth that you heard tonight in both sermons in your life when you leave tonight. Phoebe. Phoebe. A thirst for God. Those two truths will help you, church. Will help you. Find your place. I just want to read you something, church. You preachers up here praying. I just feel led of the Spirit to do this. I want to read you this. Romans 16, I want you to see what Paul said. Remember now, Paul was the preacher. Paul said this. He said that she hath been a succor of many and of myself also. Listen, that sister that was a servant and that was a saint and that was a support, and that was sent. Let me tell you something. Not only did she help that church at Centuria, but boy, was she a blessing to that preacher. And I know this preacher right here, just in the time I've been able to talk to him, just his spirit tells me that he's a thankful and an honoring preacher. But I know those hands that went up that said, I want to serve. Well, I know when he saw that, boy, it meant a lot to have another person, another help, and what a blessing it would be to that preacher. I just pray that person, those people that raised their hand would come see him and say, hey, preacher, what can I do, preacher? What needs to be done, preacher? What needs to be done before Sunday, preacher? What can I do to help, preacher? Don't have to be Paul, preacher. Just let me be Phoebe, preacher. Just let me be Phoebe, preacher.
Amen. The altar's still open. thankful for how those two messages just meshed so well together. I submit to us tonight, if we will hunger and thirst after righteousness, we will be a Phoebe. There's no doubt about it. She was who she was because there's no doubt she hungered and thirsted after righteousness. Amen. I thank you so much for your attendance and for your attention tonight. And I pray you'll be back tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Bring someone with you. And we'll look forward to hearing from the Word of God again tomorrow night. I encourage you to stop by the table if you have time. And boy, Brother Dallas was right on the money. We're 8:30 and we're ready to go. So I appreciate that very much. And so thankful for the preaching of God's Word tonight. Let's take it home and meditate on it tonight. Ponder it. Consider it. And let's go tonight and be ready tomorrow to be that sent one. Be ready tomorrow to be sensitive to those around us that need Christ, that need salvation. Let's pray. We'll be dismissed tonight. Brother Billy Meyer, would you pray for us tonight, please, sir?